With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to this Clash of the Titles Christmas Countdown Special! Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, everyone!
Hello and welcome to Clash of the Titles, the podcast where two movies with something in common usually go head-to-head to find out which one does it better. I'm Chris Tilley.
I'm Alex Zane.
I'm Vicky Crompton.
And for this episode, we're doing something a bit different and putting out a clash-free show, which means we're basically winging it. There will be arguments, there will be recriminations, there will be tears. Welcome to the end-of-year Best of Righting the Wrongs of 2020 bonus episode! Woo!
Release the Kraken!
I just wanted to say, and this is on a more serious note, just thank you to everybody that listens to this show and makes it what it is. Because this year, obviously, everything shrank so much. And for me, speaking personally, to be involved in something that was bigger at that time was really helpful. So I just wanted to say thank you to everybody and obviously to you too as well.
Oh,
it just means a lot. It really does.
That is so nice. That's a really nice thing to say. Thank you, Victoria.
I mean it.
Did you enjoy 2020 on the pod? I will start off by saying that Alex completely spoiled the film Contact for me. Why? And I'm kind of upset because when they meet the aliens, I always thought that was an amazing scene, and now you pointed out how crap it was.
Yeah, that is a really ridiculous scene.
Yeah, I didn't do this podcast to like films less, but that's what happened there. Did anything like that happen to you? Now you're winging it.
Well, I am winging it, but no, I mean, I guess I've got a bit, I'm coming at this show where what you said at the start about righting wrongs, I'm a little bit angry with some of the verdicts that we came up with. Now, I do know somehow you've managed to get away with us not discussing Deep Impact and Armageddon because it falls outside.
Oh, yeah, that's a shame.
Outside of 2020.
Yeah, we can't do it.
So we can't talk about your biggest mistake.
No, it's
your mutual biggest mistake that you've ever made on the podcast.
Armageddon's a terrible film and Deep Impact's just slightly less terrible.
Well, no, Armageddon's a better film. So we can't talk about that. But yeah, I've had a look through some of the polls that are run on Twitter. And it's fascinating to me how many times that you guys have voted for one thing, I voted for another thing, and actually, when it comes to the poll on Twitter, people take my side. Also, They Live should have won that week. But
we're getting to that section.
I know.
Man of the People, Alex Zane. I'm watching back-to-back Shane Black films this year. Spoiled Shane Black a little bit for me. Seeing how he does the same thing over and over again. Seeing he comes back to the same character, same archetype, same jokes, same scenes. I wish I hadn't watched that much Shane Black in such a short period of time. You should space them out every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, the big one for me was Dead Boobs opening two Shane Black movies.
Yeah, yeah. Alex, did you prepare and tell me what your fifth best film of the year is?
Yes, my fifth best film of the year. Now, I'm gonna say this right now. Because watching the films for Clash of the Titles takes up a lot of my film watching time,
yes,
I haven't actually seen that many new movies that have been released in 2020.
Also, not that many new films have been released in 2020.
Right, which will explain why my fifth favourite movie of 2020 is Underwater.
Oh, really?
I really enjoyed Underwater. Yeah, I thought it was great. I'm a big fan of underwater movies, and this one was good. I think the start of Underwater is incredible, and, you know, it makes some missteps, but I actually genuinely enjoyed Underwater.
I know someone who I believe did an uncredited rewrite on that film who listens to this podcast.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, hello.
Potential future guest, maybe?
Yeah. Now that we've established that I'm a big fan of Underwater.
Yeah. Vicky, you only had three favourite films of the year when we last spoke. So it's fine if you haven't got five.
No, I've got five.
What's your fifth?
My fifth is Tenet. So that is a bit controversial because it was nowhere near as good as I thought it was going to be. But it just to be in the cinema was a treat. And I'm picking it as my fifth best film of the year for the opening 10 minutes, or maybe it's even the opening 5 minutes. When the orchestra is, I went on about this at the time, the orchestra is tuning up and you know something's going to happen, and the way it's shot and edited, it kicks off like half a beat before you think it is. And I jumped out of my chair. I thought it was amazing.
Awesome. My one is a film called Possessor. Brandon Cronenberg's second film, David Cronenberg's son. Andrea Riseborough stars it. It's about an agent who works for a secretive organisation that uses brain implant technology to inhabit other people's bodies to do bad things, basically.
Okay. And it actually sounds like my kind of movie.
It's frigging awesome. I mean, Brandon Cronenberg's definitely following in his father's footsteps in terms of body horror, and there's some serious hardcore violence in this film, but it's really effective, and that's out. You can rent that now, so... Well, worth a watch.
I'm sold. Hardcore violence, body horror, lovely.
Right, favourite clash of 2020. I asked the listeners to pick some of theirs. Do you know what our most listened to episode was? I think I might have told you as well.
Was it Alien?
Knives Out.
Was it?
Is our most listened to. And I also asked Blondine to tell us what our least listened to episode.
Why would you do that?
Thank you.
Why? No, wait. I'm going to get mad. Because if it's something I picked, I'm going to be upset.
Oh, please.
No,
please let me.
Because I think it's funny what it is. I think you could probably guess what it is, actually. And this is in 18 months.
Is it when I picked The Relic versus House of Wax?
No, it's not. It's not.
Come on.
It's the one that's most likely to be our least listened to, I would say.
Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is. It's... The one where I always get the titles confused.
Yeah, I had to write them down.
The Princess Switch and a Christmas Prince.
Oh,
correct.
That's how I'd
listen to the episode.
Yeah.
So good job we didn't do the sequels, I think.
Really?
But we asked the listeners. Josie Bob said her favourite is Castaway versus Moon versus The Martian, just because of Vicky getting cross about The Martian.
Mm. Oh, I remember when you get that rash up your neck.
I'm still
Elliot Harris says Darkman versus the Crow for the controversial ending and for introducing me to perhaps the greatest scene in cinema when Neeson explodes out of the building.
Was that the one I flipped my verdict? Oh no, that's not the one I flipped.
Liam Johnson says, thanks to the pod, I watched the Alien movies for the first time. That was a great pod, but I think I most enjoyed discovering Bone Tomahawk and Ravenous.
That was a good week.
Both great movies that I will be watching many times again. And that's nice when we can introduce people to films like that, because they both deserve an audience, those movies.
And I mean, not that we're keeping score, but my choices.
Alex, stop it. Dan Stokes says LA Confidential and Chinatown, two great films, and I enjoyed the Angelica Houston story.
Wrong verdict from you guys. Twitter agreed with me on that one.
Steve B says, I thought there were many great clashes this year, but I think my favourite was Jaws versus Jurassic Park. But I also enjoyed the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man remake because it's such a bonkers movie. And I enjoyed that as well because I'd never seen that. And I enjoyed it much more than I thought I would.
I feel bad about the Jaws episode because I think someone tweeted going, Alex just really talked for an hour and no one else said anything. I will say that that is the only movie where I had to do that. Like,
Aaron says, tough question, but I'm going with Jaws versus Jurassic Park. Lots of great chat on two great movies, but I especially love the extreme jeopardy. What would Alex have done if Jaws didn't win?
Lost my fucking shit.
Yeah. He suggests murder.
Yep, not sure. Far off.
Andy Gaffney said that one as well. Two banging films, but it was the story of the would-be scuba diving jockey.
Wait, what was that story?
When they cast a guy who was a jockey to go in the cage underwater.
I'll tell you
about it after. It's a famous Jaws story. I know lots of them. Zinko says, my favourite is the Commando episode. Arnie jokes are always funny, and I remember just cracking up laughing in a forest, like when you talked about the scene where he gets to the island. The scene where he gets to the island.
Mm. Where he strips.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also the amphibian plane.
Sorry, he was in a forest when he was laughing at that. That confused me. I was thinking, was Arnie in a forest? I think Zinko was in a forest when he listened to it.
That's nice. We're being listened to in a forest.
Yeah, Commando was my favourite film to revisit.
Really?
Yeah, it makes me think maybe I want to do more action films. I just had really good fun just going through that scene by scene.
I remember when I announced that as a pairing and you lost your shit. I was like, it's Commando and Taken.
I was excited.
And you were like, whoa!
I think I was going to do it for like the week after. So it was such a because we've talked about so many in the pub, but I don't think we discussed that one. Frank B says Elm Street versus Candyman. I found the most interesting. I laughed the most at Hand That Rocked the Cradle and Single White Female. And Ryan D says Alien v Aliens, two absolute classics, granted from the same franchise, but it made the homework all the better. Mm. Special mention for Jaws v Jurassic Park and line of the year, he was all in.
You think he's talking about his penis being inside her?
No! No, the opposite. I'm all in, as in it's gone in. He's him, and he's like, oh, I'm all in, and it's gone in a bit, and it's not going anywhere out. It's not going inside anything, because it's not out. Yeah?
What the hell are you talking about?
Oh,
what are you doing?
Oh, Vicky,
what do you mean?
To cut all this. This is nonsense. This is just nonsense. This is dead air, essentially.
What are you... Do you don't think that? Do you...
I can't speak. I did.
She's basically fucking weirdo.
I think my favourite, though, was getting to do Flash Gordon, just because I've wanted to do that since we started, because it's just got all the elements I think makes a good film to cover, in that it's entertaining, it's weird, it's got a crazy story behind it, it's got all these fun actors and anecdotes. And
yeah, I was worried about that because I know it means a lot to you, and I was worried to cover it. But I think it went all right.
Well, there's a few raised eyebrows that it didn't win that week.
I know. I can't believe I didn't pick Flash Gordon. Yeah.
I know. I can't believe you didn't.
But I mean, I don't think it's as good a film.
It's not as good a film. That's why Guardians won. That was a fine week. That actual verdict gets the thumbs up from me. It's all the others that get the thumbs down.
And I'm glad I got to do Caddyshack and Escape to Victory, because I know I'm the only person in this room who's really into those films, but it just meant I got to scratch a very particular itch.
Yeah, I was glad I wasn't here for the Escape to Victory day. I tore that one off.
We had a fine replacement, if I'm honest.
That's right, yes.
Any more for that? Any more favourites that you guys want to mention?
Do you know what? Weird. I really liked The Fly and Hellraiser. Mm. And I think it's because it was so off for Valentine's. It was so much fun to watch those around Valentine's Day.
Should we try and find something even darker for this the next Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
I quite enjoyed Love Actually in the holiday recently.
Yeah,
that was quite good fun.
That for me is what this podcast is good for me, because it was so cathartic, because I've been waiting to have that conversation, and I know there's a lot of screeching and a lot of rash and a lot of whatever. But I, you know, I said, I really meant it. I cannot think of better people to have that conversation with than you two and the people that listen to this.
I enjoyed talking about Love Actually a lot more than I enjoyed talking about The Holiday.
Yeah. Sure.
And yet you both voted for The Holiday. The Holiday was the winner that week.
Because it's
a
better film and it's less... It's,
yeah, okay.
I Love mean, Actually is reprehensible.
So...
It's disgusting.
Let's just take a look at the Twitter...
We haven't got to Miscarriage of Justice yet, so you're, okay, you're
right,
in the wrong
fine,
section.
I'll just wait.
Twitter question from Josie Bob. What are your snacks of choice when watching films, Vicky?
So this year in 2020... I have gone fucking bananas for Bombay mix. I can't stop eating Bombay mix. It got me through lockdown with Negronis and cigarettes, obviously. Mm. But I will just sit and...
She knows how to live. She knows how to... Can you what a picture to paint.
It's disgusting.
You on your sofa.
It's disgusting.
Just pouring it.
I use a spoon.
For Bombay mix. Who the... What are you?
Because I want as much of it in my mouth as possible.
I'm sorry if this is making you feel sick, listeners.
No!
It's just a fag hanging out of your mouth.
We've
and
just
a Negroni in the other hand, pouring
shouting
Bombay
at
mix.
Get me another drink.
Spot Boxing Day for a lot of people, that mental image.
Is it wrong that I really want Bombay mix now?
There you go.
Yeah.
Hit that mix. Don't be ashamed.
Alex
has even got a catchphrase.
I thought of it.
Hit the mix.
This. When my Bombay mix thing was getting out of hand and I couldn't not have it in the house.
So you're aware you've got a problem.
Yeah, I kill myself laughing in the kitchen. I was like, Mark, listen to this. I'm going to hit the mix. He was like, shut the fuck up. But I was like, I'm so funny. That's my year. It's just been Bombay mix with a spoon.
Wow.
Alex,
pistachio,
snack of choice.
Pistachio nuts. I find it very, very relaxing to shell and then eat. And it also tempers how fast I eat because I'm a fast eater and I often feel sick after a meal because I'm get it down. Like someone's going to take it away from me. So I don't know whether that comes from my childhood where like food.
You grew up poor. So.
Yeah. But I eat pistachio nuts quite slowly.
So I was thinking this meant what do you eat at the cinema? Which, that would be awful sitting next to you if you're selling peanuts during a film.
Pistachio nuts. I'm too... Really, of the two of us, mine's the worst. She's sitting
both
there
weird.
With Negroni, smoking. And Bombay... Can you imagine sitting next to a Bombay mix?
It's fine, because it wasn't specific there. I just thought of it. What do you have at the cinema?
I'm hitting the mix! Hit the mix!
All right. When I was a kid, it was minstrels. Now it's popcorn. Used to be sweet, now salted, and never the twain shall meet.
Are you kidding me? You don't mix?
No.
You're insane.
And that has caused me problems in my relationship as well.
That's mad.
Why? In what capacity?
Well, she likes a mix and I don't, so we end up having to just do salt.
Do you mix?
Of course I mix.
No, it's crazy.
It's
the best.
No, sweet and savoury should not cross over. I don't have pineapple on my pizza or anything like that. Right, fourth best film of the year, Vicky.
Incomparable, but okay.
Uncut Gems is my fourth best film of the year. It is a stress fest from start to finish. And I think the reason I liked it so much is because I did love Adam Sandler, but he is fucking annoying. So what happens to him? You're like, God, thank God for that. But also, you have a lot of love for that person. I did.
Yep. Agreed.
As I said, not seen that many movies this year. So my number four movie, favourite movie of the year, is Underwater. It's Underwater. No, it's not. It's The Invisible Man. I thought that was...
Oh, did you like it?
I really enjoyed that,
I love her. Thought it was good. But the conceit that you never see him until the end, there's a big plot point that depends on has he discovered the hidden thing or not. Mm. I'm trying not to ruin it. But because you
you're not doing very
well. Have I ruined it? Oh, sorry. But I was unsure because you can't see him. Do you know what I mean?
To me, it was just for a movie that could potentially be quite seedy and nasty. I really quite liked the fact that they made The Invisible Man and it was thrilling and scary.
It was really scary.
And I just, it got rid of a lot of the bad taste that Hollow Man had left in my mouth.
Because
that's poor choice of words for that film.
The bit where she's got the
blanket and he stands on it and that's all it is. I was crying scared. It was terrifying.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I'm going for a film called Relic, horror film starring Emily Mortimer.
We did that on the show, The Relic. Yep, great film.
It's about a daughter, a mother and a grandmother who are haunted by a manifestation of dementia that consumes their family's home. And it is dark, but it is amazing. Thoroughly recommend that.
A horror movie, is it?
Yes.
Oh, great. I'm going to write that one down. God, you've got some good suggestions. What was the first one again? I'm going to write it down.
Possessor.
Possessor.
Right. I kind of give you some good suggestions.
You do.
Your Next
me...
and The Guest were a good one. Right, biggest miscarriage of justice in 2020 with listener picks. So these can't be ones that you've just found on, you know, under a poll. These have got to be the real thing. Better Off Red message to say, the thing is a masterpiece while The Hateful Eight is an inferior imitation and not in the same league. During the verdict, my boy Thrilly unfavourably compared The Thing to Alien, which affected his decision when he should be comparing it to The Hateful Eight.
That's funny.
Harsh. And I still feel bad about that, but I couldn't help it. When I watched The Thing, I had a problem with the beginning, I had a problem with the ending, all these problems that I didn't think I had with that film.
Did you pick The Hateful Eight on that episode?
I did.
Oh my God.
I still feel, I feel weird about it, and I don't really want people knowing.
I've blanked that out. That was so disturbing a choice.
I thought it was a better film that week.
No, gosh. Jeez, Chris, come on.
So, yeah, that was one aiming at me. Marion says, Bram Stoker's Dracula losing to Interview with the Vampire. Despite the accent and the rain dancing girls, the cinematography is beautiful from colours to sceneries. The soundtrack is mesmerising and Oldman Hopkins are geniuses. I'm agreeing with Marion on that one.
Yeah.
That was certainly a tough week.
Yeah.
Granted, they were very close. I'm sticking with Interview with the Vampire just for the ending, though. I think I said that at the time.
Mm.
The ending of Interview with the Vampire. Yeah, it's so good.
Sam says, I Am Legend winning over 28 Days Later purely because of the video quality. Shambles. Yes, Cillian Murphy turns ninja at the end and the film's resolution is poor, but the sense of danger in 28 Days Later from both Eccleston and the zombies is so much more intense than that of CGI zombie dogs and slap head, white mouth, veiny mannequins. And that was one where I was upset. I was really surprised that 28 Days Later lost to I Am Legend, because I just don't think I Am Legend's very good.
Well, this is just going to, this adds fuel to the fire from that tweet already, but it is the quality for me. It's like, it's so bad to watch now on a big screen TV. I couldn't believe that it was...
I love the way it looks.
No, I know. To be honest, listening to that tweet, that actually does almost make sense, the fact that it does give it this urgency and this documentary kind of footage.
Yeah.
I just remember at the time just going, this is difficult to watch because it's so bad.
Rotten Tomatoes. Do we pay any attention to Rotten Tomatoes?
I don't, usually, but...
They gave 28 Days Later 87% and I Am Legend 74%. So make of that what you will. No, they went with me. And then we got a few on one particular episode.
Okay.
Jack said, if the aliens debacle isn't addressed, I'll never listen again.
Good, Jack. Hello.
Ryan says, Aliens is the better film and Alien is a work of art. Aliens is just better for me as it's more rewatchable. Not as scandalous as the Armageddon tragedy, though. Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan.
Travesty. And Aaron, this made me laugh. I'm sorry, Aaron. This made me laugh. Obviously Alien over Aliens.
Nope.
Absolutely scandalous. One could even argue that if not for Aliens, Alien would have faded into relative obscurity.
Oh, so he's saying Aliens as well. This is true. I stand by that.
Isn't that bonkers, though, that without Aliens, Alien would have just disappeared? Because it's so forgettable.
That's taking things to extremes, but I do think he's right. Aliens is the better film.
It's not. And Rotten Tomatoes.
This is the better.
Well, let's check in with Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, why are we suddenly using Rotten Tomatoes as this barometer?
Because we're having a debate.
No, to back up your debate.
I'm just checking the critical consensus. Aliens, 87%. Aliens, 97%. Alien, 98%. 1% Alien wins.
He's so happy.
Semi-pro Poddy said he's upset about literally none of you caring about The Princess Bride.
Oh.
Why? What happened on that episode?
Didn't
I guess Henry Story must have won.
Oh, yeah.
I think I picked The Princess Bride, though.
Yeah, you might have done.
I might have done.
Mm. I definitely didn't.
No.
Okay. So that's that.
Sorry, are we going to talk about The Crow? No? Neither of you...
Remind me what happened?
So you two broke my heart and enjoyed it.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't enjoy it.
You didn't enjoy making me that upset.
You did at the time. I remember looking across at you and going, this is hilarious.
But do you want us to lie to make you happy?
Yes.
But I'm a critic. My reputation, my word is all I've got. And so if I start saying The Crow is better than Dark Man, I'm not worth anything to anyone.
It was such a... I would never expected the Krill to lose in a million years because I love it so much. I can't see what's wrong with it.
Yeah, that's your problem.
I know.
You can't see.
I really
can't see past
the
fact it's
not... I think about it all the time.
I love Flash Gordon so much, but I can see what's wrong with it.
I can't do that.
No. Yeah, no, I stand by the Dark Man result. I think that was the correct answer.
No, I don't.
Yep.
All right. Recrimination's over.
Okay.
The Holiday, this is from Katie. The Holiday beating Love Actually. Madness. We have this. This is from Aaron. Flawed movie, Love Actually, but The Holiday sucked. I think mostly because of Jack Black, who was horribly miscast, but also the writing, direction, editing, and general concept. Other than that, it was great.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not a great film.
Anthony Peacock says, both films are flawed, but The Holiday really is shit. and the eventual poll, apparently we're allowed to quote Rotten Tomatoes willy-nilly this episode, but lo and behold, we mentioned an actual poll on our Twitter.
Well, it's my poll.
Yeah, well, your poll speaks volumes because it says 75% to 25% in favour of Love Actually being the better film.
If you listen,
what I voted for on the day, I think you're insane to think the Holiday is unwatchable. At least Love Actually is mad.
Love Actually is disgusting. Well, you're a middle-aged man who might want to diddle your secretary. It's like, having heard the reasons we've given for Love Actually not being the best film, to then still say you want...
Are you upset that he called you middle-aged?
I'm basking in the idea that I'm the kind of guy who might have a secretary. Never thought of myself as a secretary owner.
You wouldn't pay him. Owner. They'd be an intern. Did you say owner?
This is why I love Love Actually.
This is the problem. Yeah. This is the problem.
Property. She's my property.
And how can a film with the Chris Marshall scenes win? It's offensive.
Just me and 75% of our listeners agree.
A Twitter question from Steve B. Have you thought about taking the show on the road and doing some live shows when the world isn't a COVID-riddled shit show?
I think that's... I think he's answered his own question there, but yes.
Yeah. We'd like to do that, wouldn't we?
Yes.
Yeah?
Good. We would, Steve. Can't say any more because there's nothing happening. But when stuff does get back to normal, we'll try and make something happen. Third best film of the year, Alex.
My third best film of the year is, again, I haven't watched many movies, but I stand by this, Gretel and Hansel.
I haven't seen that.
I really enjoyed that. I thought it was very good. It's beautiful to look at as well. So, yeah, really enjoyed Gretel and Hansel.
And there's a good Punch and Judy film came out this year as well.
That I didn't.
Yeah. But Gretel and Hansel. Okay, excellent. Vicky?
His House. I thought the setup was brilliant.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's really good. The performances were amazing. It's scary. There are proper jumps in it. The politics, the internal politics between the couple is like transfixing, but obviously the external politics, the global politics, and it's still got a really, really good twist towards the end. It's brilliant.
Yeah, the synopsis is a refugee couple makes a harrowing escape from war-torn South Sudan, but then they struggle to adjust to their new life in an English town that has an evil lurking beneath the surface. That is also my third choice. It's the first film to give me nightmares since Paranormal Activity, which is 15 years ago, maybe. So that's a good enough review for me. And is that on? I think it's on Netflix, isn't it?
It is on Netflix.
Yeah, so check that out.
This is from Stackhouse. I watched 10 minutes of The Holiday last night. A truly reprehensible experience. For all its many faults, at least Love Actually has some redeeming features, mainly Emma Thompson.
That's true.
Guests. I asked who would the listeners like to see guest in 2021.
Is every answer Mark Addy?
I couldn't look him in the eye. You're like,
he's all in.
That poor man, if he ever found out.
But first, I want to say thanks to James Moran, Daniel Kruper, Pete Donaldson, Paul McAvoy and Noah Sagan, who all guested this year. And good job they did too. Yeah. Alex suggests Ben Wheatley or Alice Lowe. Ben would be funny because he's such a grumpy bastard, but I don't know if he would do a podcast. I do know Alice a bit. I could ask Alice. Mm-hmm. She's great. James said, I thought Krupa was excellent last time. I'd like to hear him again, or maybe one of the other RKG video boys. I can speak to Gavin Rory if people are keen on that. We had three Edgar Wrights. Three votes for Edgar.
Mm-hmm.
So I could ask that question. I think I'm going to be doing something with him next year. So if people want Edgar, we can ask.
That would be awesome.
Two Warwick Davises. Two people wanted Warwick Davis.
Is this the 12 days of Christmas with guests? Three Edgar Wrights, two Warwick Davises.
He's going to be busy now because he's just started shooting the new Willow.
Right.
But when he's done, maybe when we do finally do Willow, which I'm sure we will get round to.
As long as they keep the score from the first movie, that's one of my all-time favourite scores.
Frank has suggested Brett Goldstein.
Oh,
funny
yes.
Man, yep. Funny man, knows his films.
Yes, yes,
does
yes.
a good film podcast. John says, realistically, perhaps someone like Daniel Radcliffe.
Okay.
He seems pretty down to earth and up for a giggle, or maybe Mark Strong. I like both them. Mark, we've talked about Mark Strong. He's brilliant, isn't he?
Yes.
To interview.
He's wonderful. I'm a big Mark Strong fan. That would be awesome.
Johnny and Ross both asked if we could get Frank Welker on the show.
That's a brilliant idea.
I have looked into trying to contact him, but he doesn't seem to be on social media at all. So, and I don't know what he'd make of it, really. He's quite an old man now. We talk about you quite a lot. Why?
Is there no mention of Tim Curry?
I said without Tim Curry.
Oh, okay.
I said,
okay,
yeah. Because I knew everyone would say Tim Curry.
Right, fine.
Nearly done. Paul suggests Tom Savini. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be great.
He'd be very cool. Anthony Morgan Freeman. I can categorically say we will not be getting Morgan Freeman. That's a long shot, but he'd like to hear the voice of God on the podcast.
Actually, I might be doing some work with Morgan Freeman next year, so I can ask him.
And Alex has asked that we get Fede on the podcast.
If only to go, Fede.
Fede.
Have you texted him?
No, he's got time. He hasn't replied to the last one yet. He's
given him a bit of time.
It's probably in his drafts.
Don't rush him because he needs a little bit longer than a year.
To reply.
Can we talk about? I have a kind of miscarriage of justice on the show. I know I feel like the only thing I've brought to the table is moaning.
It's quite exhausting, Alex.
Yeah. Get used to it. Can we talk about the most insane pairing on the show this year? Because I still fundamentally think that Waterworld versus Aquaman was a ridiculous pairing.
Don't look at me.
I'm not. I'm looking at Chris.
I chose something else.
I think Waterworld and Mad Max Fury Road belonged together and we can never now do that.
That's true. Mm.
Good. Got that off my chest.
Yeah, Chris, I mean,
you said it a lot in the pub as well. We've dealt with it.
Do you feel better now?
They were two water men.
There was a lot of support for you on Twitter recently, Victoria. 1,000% agree with Vic on the whole earthquake controversy on the Flash Gordon pod. Unless I'm completely wrong, Earth is the name of the planet, not the name for soil, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm trying to. Why can't I articulate myself well enough in these stressful situations? It's because Chris was glaring at me. They wouldn't have that.
It was
word.
From Connor. Connor sent that.
Yeah, but there were loads arguing the other side as well. We got a bunch of messages arguing the other way.
Well, it's obviously confusing.
I was just
then,
throwing her a bone.
Thanks,
Alex.
Yep.
From RM93. What music do you use for the theme of the pod? You know this, Alex.
Oh, yeah,
you came equipped. You said you. I literally prepped you on this.
Yeah, well, I felt that the minute I WhatsApped you it, then I was sort of out of the equation. I was like, I'll send it to him and then he'll have it because he'll have printed it out or something.
You didn't send me the info.
I did.
No, you didn't. You said I know what it is.
No, I sent it on. Now this is a man. Here we go. It's from Pond 5. Pond 5.
If you ever use Pond 5, you'll find that funny.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Pond 5. It is called Fight Battle Scene Background.
But you can't use it because we own it. Actually, use it if you want.
No, we bought it.
Well, we licensed
it. We bought it, but I think other people are still allowed to license it as well. I don't think when you license something from Pond 5, it's just for you.
Yeah, that's why it's so cheap.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll live and learn.
But also, please don't. This is kind of our thing. Fight battle music. Yeah.
Second best film of the year, Victoria.
Parasite.
Oh, good one.
I was just, thanks. I was gripped. And also, people talk a lot about whether it's satire or what is it. But for me, the draw was the tightness of that family as a unit, like how close they were together. And the relationships between the parents and the kids. And I thought, and you know, despite everything that happens, they remain close. And I really liked that.
Alex.
Well, it's not actually that far away from Parasite. My number two movie of the year is The Wrong Missy.
Give over.
Loved it.
No, you didn't.
I really did.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a Netflix comedy from the Adam Sandler School of Comedies, starring David Spade.
Yes.
It's very good.
Oh, I'll have to watch it.
Yeah, you
don't
will.
Watch it. Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
Right,
I
there you go.
It. All right, whatever. But...
Exactly. See? Have you even seen Parasite?
Yes. Mine is Uncut Gems. For the reasons Vicky said, my review's on IGN if you want to read it, but I love that film. I think it's brilliant. I'm scared to watch it again. I don't know if I ever would watch it again, and maybe unless we did it on this show because it's so stressful, but it's so entertaining. Right, merchandise. If we make some merchandise, what do the listeners want? Aaron said coffee mugs and T-shirts are a good way to go. I would happily wear a shirt to advertise the pod. Chris wants I'm all in on a T-shirt or... A mug, a big mug, apparently, for decent-sized brew. So that's good to know.
That's nice. Is there one of the Velociraptor from Jurassic Park 3 going, hello, Alan?
Joel says, I want merch of Alex animated as a Velociraptor saying, hello, Alan. Or maybe the quote, did you just say bath wank?
When was that?
That was recently.
Did you say bath wank?
No, I'm pretty sure you did.
It was
oh,
you.
Did I?
Yeah. You wanked in a bath. Rich wants...
How do you... Are you present when we're recording this? Or is it all just... Is this like a journey for you through... Like, are you finding stuff out for the first time?
I said I had a bath wank.
Yeah,
I
you said you've had a bath wank. I can't believe we've said bath wank so many times.
Stop it.
Rich, this is Boxing Day.
Sorry, oh God, that's awful. Happy Christmas, everybody.
Rich wants Clash the Title slippers. Matthew, who you know, who we spoke to today.
My boss?
Yes.
Oh, right, yeah.
He wants... Hi, Matthew, by the way. He wants Alex, Chris and Vicky bobbleheads.
Oh, that's nice.
That sounds dangerous.
Thank you for being so supportive, Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Matthew.
Elliot wants popcorn bowls, and Elliot does design. He's offered to design stuff for us.
Yes.
Wow. Which is very nice. Giles suggests Tim Curry sauce.
We might have to ask him. Don't know that we can just start making that.
No. Elena says cinema ticket style key ring or a notebook for Clash Pod movie viewing.
Ooh,
with the pages
nice
split
idea.
In the middle to make your own notes pre-pod.
Lovely idea.
I think that's a lovely thought.
That's yeah. great.
And yeah, everyone seems to want I'm all in on something. So well done, you've created a monster, Vicky. maybe Earthquake will be on the next one.
If that doesn't make any sense to anyone, I would suggest you go back and listen to the full Monty episode for just clarification on why I'm all in became a thing. Unless you'd like to clarify. Actually, no, you can't clarify because you still stand by your insane argument about what he actually means when he says I'm all in. Yeah. Even though it's probably the most tweeted about thing we receive, people going, What is she talking about? You yeah. refuse to back down.
Just watch the scene. I am right.
This week on Stakhanov.
Over on the Luke and Pete Show, we've been discussing our usual nonsense from Disney princesses to fizzy lagers and a whole load more. Here's a taster of what's been on the show.
For some reason, our little recording system has got this piece of music installed. It. I think it's incidental music in a sex ed BBC Two 10 a.m. kind of job.
No way!
It is.
It's too groovy. It's too groovy.
Yeah, it's just like now on BBC Two, sex and your child.
Meanwhile, over on WrestleMe, we've been doing the 12 days of WrestleMemus, which you can find on our Patreon or your favourite podcast player.
That's why also America is, like, leading the world in serial killers, you know, because they have room. They have room
they have...
to dismantle, to dismember,
dismantle,
to stuff
yes.
to make marionettes.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, very difficult to be a serial killer.
I would knock into things. I'd
you
get
would.
Blood everywhere.
But there's always some nosy beak, isn't there? Someone sticking their nose in where yeah. it doesn't belong.
All that and more at Stakhanov.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Twitter question from Paul Jordan. What is the scene that has made you cry the most ever? Mine would be this. Paul's would be the opening montage in Up. And that's up there for me. Yeah. I can't watch it.
Agreed.
What about you guys?
Oh, it's the end of Arrival. So I only watched Arrival because you told me to. Mm. And I was like, okay, great. And I was loving it and I loved it. And then I realised where it was going. Mm-hmm. And the music, so the Max Richter music. Mm. And then when she's, because it speaks to my absolute, and lots of people's, darkest fears, which is, if you knew what would happen to your kids, would you still have them? Mm. And then when she's, and I looked up the quote because I was just, I even thinking about it is difficult. And when she says, despite the journey and knowing where it leads, woo, I embrace it and welcome every moment of it. And it's so brave and true and so fucking sad. Mm. But it just taps into some very dark, scary things. And that's why it makes me cry.
Alex.
The bit where the helicopter goes over the side of the building in The Matrix and Neo goes, Trinity.
Weird. Mine is when he plays catch with his dad in Field of Dreams.
Oh yeah, you said
that. It always gets me. But the opening of Up is next to, right
up,
next to that.
It's up there.
What is your best? What is your best film of 2020, Alex?
Extraction. The Chris Hemsworth.
I haven't watched
movie.
That either.
It's so good. It's such a good fun. No. It's very stressful, but it's great. I really liked it.
I think maybe the audience is getting a glimpse into why Alex picks the films he picks at the end for the verdict. The Wrong Mission, Extraction.
Yeah. I mean,
we're going Parasite in Uncut Gems.
Granted, I wrote this in the cab on the way here and I may not have thought as much about it. And this feels like the kind of list that may come back to haunt me in summer.
It's excellent.
But for the moment, it's Extraction.
Victoria.
The Vast of Night. Have you seen it?
I have, yes.
Oh, I thought it was brilliant.
Did you?
Yeah, I loved it. So wrote, produced, directed, edited all by the same person. And it's his directorial debut. And what I love about it is like you got your shot and you just fucking smashed it. And I love that for him. Mm. And I think, I don't know what he's doing. And obviously COVID has like wrecked everything for a while. But I can still see him like a Ryan Johnson. Like he just did this thing that's his total, his vision. So it's about this small town and are they being visited by aliens? And you've got this brilliant relationship between this the girl who's like on the radios and then this guy. And it doesn't fall into a romance where you think it would. But it's not like a meet cute thing. That's really brave to not do that. But the way it looks, the payoff at the end, but just the singularity of the vision. Mm. And, if, you know, it's his first go. I mean, he's done other stuff, but I just love that. Like, you've got your moment and you just went for it and it worked. That's which is the choice. Same way I felt about Brick.
Yep. Great choice.
Good choice.
I'm going for Parasite. I saw that when I missed a couple of shows when I was at Toronto Film Festival last year. I had to review that. And that was one of those moments where you're sitting there knowing you're watching a masterpiece. I haven't had that feeling since I watched Get Out, just thinking, this is incredible. And then I start getting this anxiety thinking, I hope you stick the landing. Don't fuck this up because this has been so good. But it builds and builds and it really does have that fantastic crescendo. I just love him as well. I mean, I love every one of his films, apart from Otka. I didn't like that one. But yeah, I just think it's a really special film. And I think it's the best film of the last few years, to be honest.
You haven't seen Extraction, though.
Wait till you've seen the wrong movie.
Final question from Twitter, from Russell. What films are you guys looking forward to over the next few years? I guess the next year. I'm hoping Ghostbusters and Quiet Place 2 are good. And can someone make a Predator film set in World War II?
Oh, did you ever see a friend of mine made Predator Dark Ages, which is a Predator set in the Middle Ages, which is really
cool.
Good.
That's good.
Yeah. Cool. So anything you're looking forward to?
So I am looking forward to Ghostbusters, but obviously I'm quite scared.
Yes.
Because,
sure.
But I'm really excited about Promising Young Woman with Carey Mulligan. There's a couple of trailers. They're fucking brilliant.
That's out really soon as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it just looks, it looks like it's my dream. And also Candyman. Did he say Candyman? I can't remember.
Nope.
But I think the Nia DaCosta Candyman, I think that to me, from what I've seen of it, is the way that that story should be told.
Yeah.
And I like the Candyman we've got, but I think it's a really good idea to do.
It's a product of its time, and this one really does look like it's taking it forward.
Now, with it being your favourite movie of all time, how nervous/excited are you for the new Ghostbusters?
I'm really nervous because I'm not a massive fan of, is he called Finn Wolfhard?
The kid from
I'm just not his biggest fan. Like, I think he's good. And whatever, but I'm just not like, I'm not like, oh, brilliant, he's in it, okay? Which is an awful thing to say about a young actor, but I'm just, that's how I feel. And then when I saw the trailer, and there's the end of the trailer, and he finds Ector up one, and I was like, oh my god, like I'm freaking out. But what if it's shit? Like, what if it's shit?
Yeah,
I will be so sad. And like the Kristen Wiig Ghostbusters, I really enjoyed that, but because it wasn't a completely new story, I felt so protective over the old one that it wrecked my enjoyment of it a little bit.
I find it astonishing in the Kristen Wiig version. I've never seen a Bill Murray cameo in which he's not funny.
Yeah,
and it's surprising.
Yeah.
How bad the cameos are, and the bit where Dan Aykroyd rolls down the window. I think he's a cabbie in it, and he's like, don't go to Times Square. It's full of ghosts, and he actually says, I'm afraid of no ghost. Mm. And you're like, that's not even in the original Ghostbusters. That's the song. What are you doing?
Alex, what are you looking forward to?
They genuinely are making an Extraction 2. Okay. I'm already on board for that. I'm very excited about that.
Is that it?
Yep.
I'm going to say The Kingsman, I'm looking forward to, because I went on the set of that one and it looks really good. I think it's going to be much better than people are expecting. Based on the trailer, In the Heights, I'm really excited about. Lin-Manuel Miranda's musical, which is not something I would have thought I'd be excited about, but I thought that trailer was brilliant. Edgar Wright's got a new film.
I'm looking forward to that because I've just started watching The Queen's Gambit because you told me to.
Yeah.
So I'm in love with her, Anya Taylor-Joy. So
it's called Last Night in Soho as well. I always like a Soho movie. I'm very excited for that. And then another one, The Many Saints of Newark, which is it's a Sopranos prequel about how Tony Soprano got to where he got. But what's special about that? It's David Chase doing it again. But what's special about that is Michael Gandolfini is playing Tony Soprano. And he's James Gandolfini's son. Oh. And I just think it's really special that, because obviously we lost James Gandolfini. He's a really good actor. And he's starting to look like his dad. He's like a slim version of his dad. And I just think if they get that right, that could be...
That'd be brilliant.
A new, you know, really special gangster film.
That would be good.
Excellent. Right. Shall we have a quiz? I will tell you the score. I will tell you the score. I'm really pleased Vicky won, because the score is now 9-8 to Alex.
Okay.
So Alex, if you win, you've won. Vicky, if you win, it's a draw, and then I've got a shit tiebreaker.
Okay.
What are you doing on your iPad? Are you looking stuff up? You don't
no,
even
no,
know what
sorry,
the...
no, 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 no. Sorry.
You both know what the questions are.
Do we?
Yes. She can't look them up because of what how I've picked it. So
yeah, and I never do that, by the way. For anyone that can't see, I never cheat. I don't what?
So I'm not convinced. I've seen a new side to you with, but the minute this Oscar statue appeared that we are playing
it
for,
it brought out the worst in me.
You've changed.
I really want one of them.
So I asked Alex and Vicky for their favourite film by a bunch of different actors, and so we're going to do a bit of a Mr. and Mrs. here.
So that's why I can't cheat.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm going to ask. Vicky.
Yeah.
What is Alex's favourite Eddie Murphy film? Is it Trading Places, Beverly Hills Cop, or Beverly Hills Cop 2?
Oh, you fucker. I see that. I couldn't decide between 1 and 2. So I'm going to go with Beverly Hills Cop 2.
The Alex. Answer is Beverly Hills Cop.
Fuck off! Oh.
So close, but so far away.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. Yeah, I watched them both again recently just to make absolutely sure. And I do think 2 is great, but Beverly Hills Cop for me.
Okay.
It was my introduction to Eddie Murphy as well. I remember staying up late to watch that and going, who is this guy? This is amazing.
Okay. Right.
Alex, what is Vicky's favourite Eddie Murphy film? Is it Beverly Hills Cop? Is it Dolomite Is My Name? Or is it The Nutty Professor?
Interesting. I'm going to say The Nutty Professor.
What is your favourite Eddie Murphy film?
Dolomite Is My Name.
Incorrect.
Hate the Nutty Professor.
Really? But he's in a fat suit.
But do you like the fact I thought he'd think you'd like it?
Yeah.
That's where my mind went, and that's where his mind went. All right.
We know each other so well.
Vicky, what is Alex's favourite Julia Roberts film? Is it Erin Brockovich, Ocean's 11, or Closer?
It's Erin Brockovich.
Alex?
The answer is Ocean's 11.
No, it's not.
Of course it is.
God.
Erin Brockovich. Jeez.
I didn't even know we were going to get multiple choice. No, so I've just written that down. So in front of me, I've got
it.
Beverly Hills Cop
2. I've never even seen it.
And Erin Brockovich. You've never seen it.
I've never seen Erin Brockovich.
Oh.
Alex, what is Vicky's favourite Julia Roberts film? Is it Pretty Woman, Sleeping with the Enemy, or Erin Brockovich?
It's Erin Brockovich.
Correct.
Yeah.
Vicky just gave herself away.
Fuck.
You gave yourself away a little bit there.
You've never seen it. Could it possibly be Erin Brockovich?
Vicky, what is Alex's favourite Adam Sandler film? Is it Wedding Singer, Uncut Gems, or Happy Gilmore?
Oh, shit. See, in front of me, it's either Happy Gilmore or The Wedding Singer. It isn't Uncut Gems. So I think you want it to be The Wedding Singer because it's better than Happy Gilmore, but I think really it's Happy Gilmore. Happy Gilmore!
Alex?
I can't remember what I wrote for this. I think, well, whatever it says on there, it is Happy Gilmore.
Oh my God.
It's Happy Gilmore.
Yeah!
Thank God, yes.
Vicky got the point.
Boo!
Alex, what is Vicky's favourite Adam Sandler film? Is it The Wedding Singer, Happy Gilmore, or Uncut Gems?
Uncut Gems.
Correct. Vicky, what's Alex's favourite Bruce Willis movie? Is it Die Hard, The Sixth Sense, or Unbreakable?
It's Die Hard, and you can't say it isn't.
It's Die Hard, yeah. It's, of course, Die Hard.
Die Hard, that's a point for Vicky. Alex, what is Vicky's favourite Bruce Willis film? Is it Die Hard, is it The Sixth Sense, or is it Unbreakable?
I think it's The Sixth Sense.
Oh, you fucker.
Yes!
Correct.
I remember that episode. You banging on about how much you bloody love that.
I didn't really like it.
Vicky, what is Alex's favourite Sandra Bullock film? Is it Demolition Man? Is it Speed? Or is it Gravity?
This is so hard. It isn't Gravity. It's too serious.
I'm not helping you. Don't look to
me. All right, it's Demolition Man.
Alex?
The correct answer is Speed.
Shit!
Yeah, I love that movie.
Do you know what I thought you might like as The Heat?
Yeah, I love The Heat.
Yeah.
I love The Heat, but the bus, when it does the jump in Speed, makes me cry every
time. Fair enough.
Alex, what is Vicky's favourite Sandra Bullock film? Ooh. Is it The Net, is it Miss Congeniality, or is it Speed?
Do you even need to ask? It's The Net.
Is it The Net? Okay.
Yeah, that's hardly fair.
Die Hard for Bruce Willis.
Yeah, all right.
It all evens out.
We're down to the last one. Vicky, what is Alex's favourite Tom Cruise film?
I really struggled with this.
Is it Mission Impossible?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Mission Impossible 3?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it Magnolia?
It's Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible 1.
The correct answer is Mission Impossible 1.
Yes!
Yeah!
Thank God. Okay.
Love that movie.
Alex, what is Vicky's favourite Tom Cruise film?
Okay.
Is it The Firm?
No.
Is it Tropic Thunder?
Mm.
Or is it Magnolia?
Well, I think she might find Magnolia. Oh, I don't know. I don't think she'd like it. I think based on his performance, it's Tropic Thunder.
Incorrect.
Oh!
But I really, really, really struggled. And I do feel bad for you because I wanted to pick Tropic Thunder, but it is Magnolia.
Yeah, okay.
We have a winner.
I know.
Alex, congratulations!
Yeah! Oh, my God, I get a trophy!
Well done.
I'd like to thank Victoria for allowing me to know her so well that I now have this little gold man, the Clash of the Titles quiz champion.
Well deserved.
Give us a smile. There you go. I'm going to put that up on
the...
Are you going
to put it in the bathroom?
Yes, I am. I'm going to put it in the bathroom and I'm going to look at it. And every time I see it, I'm going to text you and go...
So 18 weeks that was, and a 10-8 victory to Alex. But well played, both of you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Everyone should be proud of this.
Vicky stormed ahead, and then Alex, you've just been on a fantastic run. You've been on a very, very effective run.
Recently, I feel like I've been on the game.
You have.
Not on the game.
Have you? Times are tight.
It's been a difficult year.
So that's it. We're coming up to January, where you guys can pick the films. We're up to 189 pairings, and we want more. So show@clashpod.com. Do tell us why you're picking the two films you're picking, and we'll see what we could do. What are we doing next week, Vicky, on the next show? Stop looking at me like you don't know this. That's the third time you've done it. We've even recorded the episode already.
Sorry. Chris, you are doing When Harry Met Sally.
Sure.
And Alex, you were doing While You Were Sleeping.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Lovely stuff.
Should we say some thank yous, though? I want to say a quick thank you to Katie and Blondine,
yep,
who have been editing this show through the year and done an amazing job. We wouldn't be what we are without those two.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We've got Andrea doing our Instagram as well now. So she's doing a bang up job there. Do check that out if you can. Thanks to Chris, who's doing the Twitter. Chris is doing a terrific job on Twitter.
He is great.
Thanks to Stakardoff. Thanks to you, the listeners, basically, as well. That's the most important thing.
Mainly thanks to you, because we wouldn't do it if you didn't listen. So thank you very much indeed. It's nice to have you there.
Yeah. So we won't ask you to follow us or review us or rate us on this show. We'll just say thank you for being you.
Thank you so much. And are we gonna be meeting again before New Year?
We aren't, no.
No, not us, but hourly, as in... never mind.
I don't understand the question.
We've got another show before New Year, so I think I say happy... I was going to say Happy New Year, but then I think there's another show.
You say it on that one.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, I'm glad I...
spot the ending somewhat.
That was... I mean, sort of, you know...
shambolic.
It feels like that was the right way to end the show. I mean, end as you began. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with you next week doing While You Were Sleeping and When Harry Met Sally. Bye-bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.